You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen, dear kinsmen, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing. I hope you're getting the most out of these shows. I'm excited to be delivering this information to you, and I hope that you are doing your own studies and checking everything and making sure. And most of all, I hope that you're connecting the dots. I don't know if you're a new listener or if you've been around since the beginning, but if you haven't heard the shows from the beginning, I would suggest that you would have a long period of listening to all kinds of shows. You can go to davidjamesboston.com in the archives, and you can listen to your heart's desire. You can learn. I've covered so many different subjects, whether they be biblical or the devil's church, Freemasonry, or whatever it is, all the way till what we're doing right now. I've covered a lot of things. And all that ground will help you to connect the dots to understand the world that you're living in today and why it is the way it is. If you just think that it's about a new world order and you don't know the bigger picture of that we are the true Israelites of the Bible, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, then you don't understand the big picture of what even the new world order is about. And I never would have either if it wasn't for the Father. Someone wrote me the other day, and I think it was last night, actually, and they said that they woke up and figured out that it was the Jews that were doing all these things. And I told them, you know, praise the Father Yahweh because he plucked you out of the fire like he did me. If it wasn't for the Father, we'd still be in the flames with the children of the flame. And we may have gone to the flame like they will. But thanks to the Father, he has woken us up. And we are awake. And we know who he is. And he knows who we are. And that's a most wonderful thing. I want to explain something that, in case you're new, right before, there's a couple of things before we go right into this Fritz Springmeier book. Is that, and I've already explained this, this is something that the Father gave me exclusively, is that the scriptures are not a New Testament and an Old Testament. There's no such thing. I know that's what you've been taught since you were put on this earth. The problem is that it's one book. How I came to understand this was because I understand the patterns of the Jews and what they do. They divide to weaken. They divide and conquer. And what they did was, see, the Bible is a book about the race of Adam, the Adamic race, his story, Adam's story. And Jesus Christ is one of the descendants of Adam. No, Adam's not a Jew, and neither is Jesus. So it's a book that has books within it. It's the book of books. And so, really, this is one testament, straight from the front to the end, from the front to the back, from the Alpha to the Omega. You see? There is no split up. There is no so-called Old Testament that is the Jews' literature and their history, and then the New Testament is our history. No, 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 no. See, this is a conspiracy of the Jews to break up the Testament, and this is how they put this lie of them being God's chosen people, and that the law was given to them, it doesn't apply to you. You don't need to worry about the law. You're saved by grace through faith. You don't have to obey the law. So you don't need to look at the older part of the Testament. That's for the Jews. That's their stuff. No, this is all one big lie. So once you've heard that there's no such thing as the New Testament and the Old Testament, that there's just one Testament. It is our responsibility not to keep on calling it the Old Testament and the New Testament, which serves the Jews' conspiracy and serves the Jews' lies purposes. You see, their lies rely upon you participating and calling it the Old Testament and the New Testament and saying, oh, the Old Testament is the Jews. No, no, it's nothing to do. It's not the Jews at all. Moses is not a Jew. Adam wasn't a Jew. Jesus is not a Jew. The Father's not a Jew. Isaiah's not a Jew. And on it goes. Daniel's not a Jew. So this is something that once you hear this, hopefully you recognize what I'm telling you is the truth, and we need to act upon that. We don't call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's one Testament. It's our scriptures. It's not the Jews' scriptures at all. And I hope that you understand that. There are those that know this and willfully are participating in helping the Jews keep this conspiracy going, keep this lie moving in the direction that the Jews want it to be moving in. Please don't be one of those people. You'll be sorry if you are. You'll be sorry if you do those things. So please, for your own sake, consider my plea. So, the other thing I needed to mention was there's a sister out there. I mean, I don't know this woman. She calls herself a Silver Lady. I don't know what that means, but she said that she's about to go bankrupt, and she says that she has some kind of a skin condition with her hands that the doctors can't come up with a diagnosis for. You may know what I think about this already, but she asked me to pray, have you all pray for her, and so I decided I would do that. And I told her to be healed in the mighty name of Yahweh. So hopefully you'll pray for her. I don't know her, so I can't say, well, this is definitely one of our sisters or any of these things, but that's all I can do. Our people need help. Our people need to stick together. Our people need to pray for one another. I'm praying for you and your countries. I hope you're praying for me and my country. My country is one of the most evil countries on the earth. It's not us and our country. It's those who have usurped her power and taken us over by the stranglehold of the central bank mechanism. But we have plenty of traitors too. Make no mistake about that. We have plenty of traitors that are willing to sell their soul, willing to support the Antichrist. May you that are of the ilk of the people that are helping these Jews and supporting these Jews and defending these Jews, may you come to your senses in the mighty name of Yahweh. May you be brought out of this deception, and may you no longer support the enemies of your race, your country, the world, or your Father in heaven. In the mighty name of Yahweh, I pray it. So let's get on to the business of learning. As I told you last week, we're on page 254, and it's chapter 1.13. This is Fritz Springmeier's book, Be Wise as Serpents. And the name of it, ladies and gentlemen, Cult of the Double-Sexed God, Jehovah. Now, as you know, we have found out that Jehovah is not the Father's name. It's one of the devil's names. So don't be too shocked at the headline here, because Jehovah is not his name at all. We know his name is Yahweh. We know what the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And we know that that was taken out of the scriptures over 6,800 times because they said his name was too holy to utter, the they being those in the three parentheses. You know who that is, right? Their father is Jehovah, the devil. Now, the devil has many, 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 many names. Halel, Lucifer, you know, Aphrodite. I mean, it don't matter. It doesn't. There's so many names. So it says here, the reader will be shown clues that indicate Frederick France, Watchtower president and oracle, is a Mason. Evidence that shows connections between the power of Masonry and the Watchtower leaders, and the rampant homosexuality within Watchtower society's elite. Are you surprised about this homosexuality thing? You know, I was praying last night to the Father that he would protect our children so that they don't have to be touched like that and to have to live with that shame for the rest of their lives. I hope you'll join me in that prayer and pray it as much as you can that the Father will send the angels to protect our children. I hope you will. So it says, God becomes Grand Master. On Tuesday, 23rd November, before I go into this, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about, for a second, the homosexuality. It seems to me to be part of the devil's kingdom. I told you before that there are actors and musicians and politicians and public people that all say they're homosexual. But I'm not so sure they really are. I think they're just trying to sway the opinion of people to accept homosexuality. It seems to me that it's part of the devil's kingdom that they do these acts of homosexuality in order to show their... It's sort of like, you know, a gang who says, well, you got to go out and kill somebody, and then you'll be a member of the gang. It's something that I believe has to be done to show your allegiance. See, because it would damn you, right? And of course, it would pervert you, and it would cause a lot of problems in your life. So I believe that we see that that's... I think he meant rampant. It says the rampant homosexuality, but I think it means the rampant homosexuality within the Watchtower Society's elite. Would it surprise you that... That is the way it is. I have a brother that told me he worked with a big ministry, and that was going on in his Christian ministry as well. This was a big one. Why does this keep happening? Why? I think I've just given you the answer. But, you know, I don't know everything. I'm just a regular man like you. But I love the Father, I love his word, I love the truth, I love learning, and I'm trying to invest in you as the Father invests in me. He's investing in you through what I'm doing here, and I appreciate that you want to learn. It's a very wonderful thing to know that people are being plucked out of the fire, that the Father is helping the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. And the dead to be risen from the grave. Not the literal grave, but most people are in it's like a zombie state at this point in the world. And you can see that the people look like that. I think part of it is the pharmakia, which, of course, is sorcery. So, anyway, on Tuesday, 23rd November 1954, a slim, reticent, kindly man took the stand in the Right Honorable James Latham Clyde's courtroom. The man's name was Frederick William Franz, who besides Russell and Rutherford has contributed more leadership for the Jehovah Witnesses than any other man. He was then vice president and later became the president of the Watchtower Society. When he got older, arrangements were taken to place the power in the hands of others. While Nathan Knorr was still president prior to Franz succeeding him, the governing body removed much of the power of the president of the Watchtower Society. This was a curious phenomena, which will be discussed later. That his power could be taken away so easily is just one clue that the power controlling the Watchtower Society actually ultimately resides outside the society and works through a select clique within the elite of the Watchtower hierarchy. Now, we had already learned before that Fritz Franz is a Jew, but he's also a Freemason, like many of the Jews are. And the Jews wanted to have him in control. So let's see what it says. Fred Franz, an early Watchtower religious leader. Fred Franz, before joining the Watchtower Society, why is it Fred instead of Fritz now? But whatever, had studied to be a Presbyterian minister. In 1913, while C.T. Russell was still considered the faithful and wise servant, Fred Franz joined. He was soon promoted to prominence in the society, and as an early key player, was the key speaker already in the early 20s. In 1924, he delivered talks over the Watchtower Society's radio station, WBBR. Some observers think that he may have played a greater role in the formation of the Watchtower's theology during Rutherford's time than is generally credited him. Fred Franz remained a bachelor for his lifetime. As part of the Bethel headquarters, he lived simply, although, like other Watchtower leaders, because of their power, he rarely lacked anything. He went on trips to places like Israel and Ireland. He earned a reputation of being friendly and not of being self-conscious to the point he'd walk around headquarters in slippers and mismatched socks. The Watchtower Society's scholar. He was also the Society's Bible scholar by virtue of a few college classes in Hebrew and Greek. Because he was their most skilled leader, his nephew, Ray Franz, would prove equally as adept as Ray's consciousness bothered him. Excuse me. Fred's skill came under scrutiny at the Douglas Walsh trial on that Tuesday. Much time and effort was spent in court on witnesses to uncover the story behind the controversial New World Translation of the Bible. It is clear from the testimony that day, and that testimony is corroborated, I would think it means. I don't know if he's misspelling. Fritz has lots of misspellings and things. I'll have to look that one up. That doesn't sound right to me. But it was corroborated, I'll say, by testimony from other sources that Fred Franz, as the Society's leading scholar, played a crucial role in the production of the New World Translation. When asked, insofar translation of the Bible itself is undertaking, are you responsible for that? To which Fred Franz answered, I have been authorized to examine a translation and determine its accuracy and recommend its acceptance in the form in which it is submitted. The New World Translation was billed by the Watchtower Society as the most literal translation available. The New World Translation itself expresses this, for instance, on page 9 of the foreword of 1950s edition. We offer no paraphrase of the scriptures. Our endeavor, all through, has been to give as literal a translation as possible, where the modern English idiom allows, and where a literal rendition does not, for any clumsiness, hide the thought. That way we can best meet the desire of those who are scrupulous for getting as nearly as possible, word for word, the exact statement of the original. The anonymous translating committee revised in 1961 and 1970 the New World Translation. They declared that an effort was put forth to bring about an even greater conspiracy in the renderings of the related parts of the Holy Scriptures. The purpose was to attain the closer conformity to the literal reading of the original languages. All this process has resulted in revisions in the main text of the translation. According to one source connected with the translating committee sat around a table with 20 to 30 different translations and went verse by verse, picking the version that fit their theology the best. Sometimes they relied upon Johannes Gruber's spirit-channeled translation. Did you hear that? Johannes, John, Gruber's spirit-channeled translation. Whether this is exactly how they created their translation, quote-unquote, is not critical at this point. The reader is asked to bear in mind three pertinent items. A, why he didn't say 1, 2, 3, I don't know. He says A, B, C. A, B, C, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. A, that the translation was an attempt to be the most literal translation possible. In this, they have succeeded in points where it is hardly readable. However, all translations must paraphrase to some degree. The languages involved are not constructed so that word-for-word translations could make sense. In other words, they do paraphrase in spite of their denials. But they have managed to produce a very literal translation. This is not to imply that they use the best ancient manuscripts, just as they had tried to be literal with the ones they chose. B. Fred Franz directed and edited the work. He gave the final approval and recommendation to print. And C. Other translations were consulted. If my sources are accurate, other translations formed the base or were relied upon heavily. The wording of the New World Translation supports this information. So what? It's important to the discussion because Fred France gives his Masonic membership away. When he translates at Hosea 12:14, the Hebrew word Adonai equals Lord as Grand Master. So in their book, Hosea 12:14, the Hebrew word Adonai equals Lord as Grand Master. What should be connecting in your head at this moment? The word Adonai is literally Lord. Baal, you know. Of course, Lord means owner too, but you get it. It is a single word that simply calls for its simple, direct, straightforward translation as Lord. Indeed, almost all translations, with a few minor exceptions, translate Adonai in Hosea 12:14 as Lord. The Watchtower itself translates the word everywhere else in their New World Translation correctly as Lord. There is no conceivable, plausible explanation for calling God the Grand Master, quote-unquote, except that it is a subtle signal of his Masonic membership. Even if we believe that the committee merely borrowed from other translations, there are no other translations that call God the Grand Master at Hosea 12:14. For instance, Young's literal, the NAS, NIV, NEB, New English Bible, the AV, and the New King James, and others simply use the obvious word Lord. An exception is that the Jerusalem Bible, which interjects Yahweh. In this instance, the Catholic translation does a better job of promoting GC's, well, I don't know why it says GC's name, than the Watchtower Society. Oh, I see what it is. It really means God's name. It's just, you see, there's no, all it says is GC space S. You wonder why? Okay, I have to, you know, interpret and read things. So, More evidence of Franz' Masonic membership. Other clues about Fred Franz's Masonic membership has surfaced. The greatest evidence has been brought to light by another researcher. His firsthand research, which is at some point to be published, may deal with the issue even more in depth. Certainly, if the New Order's plans are defeated, it will owe a big debt to the man like Russell Pine. Uh-oh. Isn't Russell Pine Jordan Maxwell? Uh-oh. You know what a scumbag Jordan Maxwell is, right? So it says it will owe a big debt to men like Russell Pine, who have labored hard to bring light to the actions of the conspiracy to unite the world order under their political, economic, and religious domination. Franz's background. Franz is a German Jewish surname. Okay, so Franz is a Jew and a Freemason. And so now we've got it, right? So Fritz Franz obviously is the same. But I guess this must be his dad or something. We'll find out. It hasn't been made clear. But let's keep going. It is interesting to note that the locations of Russell's hometown, Pittsburgh, and Franz's hometown are centers of Jewish thought and power. So he's telling you that Pittsburgh is a center for Jewish thought and power. The location that Russell moved his headquarters to from Pittsburgh, Brooklyn, New York, is the center of Jewish power and thought in the world. As this author traveled through Israel, that's one of the things, let me stop right there for a second. That's one of the things that the Jehovah's Witness told me, that they moved out of Brooklyn, New York, and that they moved out of all these other places. So that's very interesting. Here it's corroborated. All right. So anyway. Let's finish that then. The location that Russell moved his headquarters to from Pittsburgh and Brooklyn, New York, is the center of Jewish power and thought in the world. I didn't know that. As this author traveled through Israel, the question was never, are you an American? But many times, are you from New York? Because so many Jews reside in New York City. Someone who went to the University of Cincinnati with Franz was Sidney S. Tedeschi, who was a Jewish Freemason. Oh, another one. And a rabbi after graduation. Tedeschi graduated from both the University of Cincinnati and the Hebrew Union College in 1913. He later got a PhD from Yale in 1928. He became a rabbi of Union Temple in Brooklyn, New York. Frederick's father was Edward Frederick Franz. He was apparently a German of Jewish heritage who professed to be of the Lutheran Church. Frederick's parents made a big display of Fred and his brother's Lutheran baptismal certificates, which were framed and hung on the wall for all to see. Yes. And let me just interject what we know about Jews who pretend that they've been baptized and that they're Christians. Well, what should you know about them? They've got their baptismal certificates framed and hung on the wall for all to see. But what should you know about those people? That they never truly convert. Yeah, and they just continue their Judaism, so if you want, whatever you want to call that, they're evil. While they pretend on the outside they're Christians, and while they get themselves involved in the Christian offices and everything else. Right? We should know that because that's Jews don't convert. Fred and his brothers, though, were not sent at school age to a Lutheran school, but to St. Joseph's Roman Catholic Church parochial school. According to Fred, he took part in the Catholic Mass and in going to the Catholic confessional. Catholics were expected to go to confession before Mass until after Vatican II, when it quit being a rule. Before he entered third grade, his family moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, which is across the river from Covington, KT, where they... Covington, KT. Kentucky? I don't know. When they moved to... KY is Kentucky. I don't know what KT is. Do you? Maybe I'm stupid, huh? When they moved to Cincinnati, Fred and his brothers started attending the Second Presbyterian Church of Cincinnati, where he had Bessie O'Barr as his Sunday school teacher and Mr. Fisher as his Sunday school superintendent. Franz's family's changeability raises questions. Having Lutheran relatives, this author is fully aware of the deep ties, devotion, and stubborn loyalty many Lutherans have towards their church. To prominently display the infant baptismal certificates, etc., makes one wonder if this religiousness was a show, considering how quickly they could switch churches. You see, folks? The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. And there you see. A Rhodes Scholar? Question. Fred France and the Watchtower Society have claimed he rejected to offer a Rhodes Scholarship to work for the Watchtower Society. While making this claim to enhance Frederick Franz's scholastic credentials, it actually undercuts the reputation of his character in several ways. First, the Rhodes Scholarship people, in response to queries, have said Franz wasn't selected. On the surface, it appears Franz has lied. Oh, no, no Jew lies. No. That couldn't be it. No. Who's laughing out there? Who? Is it you? It appears he lied. But he's not a liar. All right, now somebody's laughing, right? Remember the lawyer there? He says, I lied, but I'm not a liar. To have rejected it means Franz is claiming it was offered to him. Even if Franz had sat through a personal interview with an election committee, which in the U.S. selects 32 scholars, and then was not selected, that is not the same as rejecting, quote-unquote, an offer from the Rhodes Scholarship, of a Rhodes Scholarship. Did Franz lie? No. Perhaps he didn't. Just maybe a secret offer of a Rhodes Scholarship did occur. If secret feelers had been put out concerning whether he would want to go to Oxford or not, he just may have secretly rejected such an offer. What? That's what it says. Mysteries of the Rhodes Scholarship. Cecil Rhodes was a British multimillionaire who during his lifetime was deeply involved in secret societies and his vision of a united world. His vision of a united world under British rule. That in Hebrew means the rule of the covenant people. And is a way to legitimize their one world state. It was a big part of his early life. It was a big part of his life early on, and by the age of 22, he had already drawn up a will to leave his money for the purpose of furthering the British Empire. Cecil Rhodes was a Scottish Rite Mason. He contributed the land upon which the Bulawayo Lodge, number 2566 in Rhodesia, built a Masonic temple. He established the Rhodes Scholarships, which to no surprise, have tended to go to Masons and people sympathetic to his vision of a one-world state. Cecil Rhodes, along with some of his friends like the Rothschilds, founded a secret society based on the King Arthur legends and his round table. This group ties into the Pierre de Zion, it's supposed to be Prior de Zion, whose key facet is the Holy Grail and its legends, which they are the caretakers of. Rhodes and Lord Rothschild in 1891 formed a circle of initiates, quote-unquote, known as the Round Table. The key to Rhodes's spiritual philosophy are Plato and Aristotle. Rhodes's mentor, John Ruskin, was heavily into Plato and Plato's idea of an ideal state, quote-unquote, under a single world rulership. The Rhodes Scholarship was designed to bring together scholars, and it was viewed that they would learn the ruling class concepts of Rhodes's one world state vision. Rhodes and his friends are responsible for the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which expanded internationally and is known in the U.S. as the Council on Foreign Nations. Rhodes amalgamated the diamond mines in the Kimberley area of southern Africa under the Jewish corporation, the De Beers Consolidated Mines, in 1888. The Jewish De Beers have a monopoly on essentially the world's diamond market. Diamonds are mined in places like South Africa and cut in Amsterdam. Rhodes was disclosed as an instigator of attack upon government of a friendly nation, forced to resign premiership in 1896. Rhodes was involved in various political intrigues because he wanted the British to control South Africa for the fabulous financial benefits it would provide. So what do we know about that? We know that the British and the Freemasons go down there and they wanted to, they're still trying to replace the Boer people, which are the German people that established South Africa. So we see that the Afrikaners come from Britain. I would think that they are, if they're not Jews outright, they're Freemasons, and some of them probably are Jews, and some of them are white race traders through the Masonic Lodge system. So you see that's what's going on there. They wanted to take over South Africa, right? When he died, £6 million were left, which endowed 170 scholarships for youth from the British Empire and the U.S. to go to Oxford. German students have been included off and on also. The leadership passes to others. Fred Franz played a big role as the oracle of the society. It was governing body member Carl F. Klein. Geez, what kind of a name is that? Who's laughing? Is that you? Carl F. Klein. It was governing body member Carl F. Klein that perhaps referred to Fritz Franz as the Watchtower's oracle, but he became a figurehead to conceal that the real directing influence of the Watchtower Society was outside the society. We know that it was the B'nai B'rith, which are also of Mr. Klein's ilk. A big 6'2" Jewish man has gone everywhere with Fred Franz as his guide these last few decades. This is the Iraqi Jew we were talking about. This so-called man, Nathir Saleh, was needed because Fred became blind. However, for many years, people at Bethel found that Saleh was more like a bodyguard. Indeed, he was more than a bodyguard, for any communication to Franz has been going through Saleh, who then returns with the answer, quote-unquote, from Franz. See, the Jews have control over the Watchtower Society at this point. Again, they've been influencing it all along. They are into it. As I told you in the past, and we learned, that the rabbis used to love to come and hear Charles Taze Russell's so-called sermons. So, see, they know what it is. They know it's not a real Christianity. And they're laughing. They love this. This is fraud. And so you see that at this point in the society, you've got Frederick Franz or whatever, I don't know why he's called Fritz. I guess maybe that's a different name of him, a nickname or something. I don't really know. But anyway, there's an Iraqi Jew that's his bodyguard. And when people want to know something, they tell his bodyguard. He goes in and then comes out with the answer. What we never do really know is if he's alive. But we do know that the Jews are controlling it from within and from without, don't we? Oh, did you get that from the internet? Who's laughing? Who is that? Who? So anyway, however, for many years, people at Bethel found that Salen was more like a bodyguard. Indeed, he was more like a bodyguard, for any communication to France has been going through Salen, who then returns with the answer from France. This Jewish man with obvious rich tastes, big expensive rings and watches, has become the president's mouthpiece and, in effect, a decision maker, although he isn't part of the governing body. Salah was in position to protect against an old man saying the wrong thing. I wonder how many times somebody came and asked a question and he pretended he went in to get the answer and just come out and answered it himself. Who would know those things except the Father in heaven and those responsible? Wow, time is flying, folks. Whew. So, the triumvirate. How has the leadership of the Watchtower Society been determined? Apparently, the guidance of the society is by a power outside the society, and this is secret. However, even those men who carry the titles of leadership are cloaked by the society in the deepest secrecy. During a tour of the Brooklyn headquarters, while associated with the society, this author found his questions concerning such items as the writing staff were given answers that avoided giving information. So you can see that Fritz had joined the Watchtower Society so that he could get in the inside and see what he could really find out. Now, that's somebody who's taking action, wouldn't you say? That's somebody that's really going the full measure, right? So it says various stories exist about Rutherford's death. It is said that Rutherford, an alcoholic while drunk, fell down some stairs in his California mansion. The story in the Watchtower publication, Let Your Name Be Sanctified, 1961, page 335 and 336, describes Rutherford on his deathbed passing the mantle of authority like the prophet Elijah did to Elisha. The Watchtower publication describes the mantle of Elijah falling to a composite three-man Elisha. According to Ray Franz, ex-governing body member, Rutherford told these three men to carry on after his death and to stick together as a team. These three men were Nathan Knorr, Fred Franz, and Hayden Covington. And that's spelled a strange way. I don't know if he's misspelled it here, because it's not Covington. It's Covington. Ray Franz has gotten a course of his story, has gotten, of course, his story told that would be told. Blah, 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 blah. Ray Franz, trusting his Watchtower brothers, brought their story about Rutherford. The Watchtower leaders maintained that Rutherford only left an oral will. A lawyer and an author left only an oral will when he knew he was in ill health for some time? Sure. What is reliably clear through, though, is that these three men took over the rulership of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So those three men, again, I just want to reiterate on that. Nathan Knorr, that's K-N-O-R-R, just like the company that puts out all those seasonings that have so much chemicals in them, Fred Franz, and Hayden Covington. I don't know. That's how you could say it. I spelled it out for you. So, Sure. What is reliably clear is that these three men took over the rulership of the Jehovah's Witnesses. But when their group dissolved, the mantle was transferred to certain other men of the governing body who were also recipients for the One World State's directives. Hayden Cooper, now it says Covington. See, I knew something was wrong. See, he misspelled it back here. You see, this is why I go through these things. It says Covington. Now it says Hayden Cooper Covington. Okay. Now, where do we know that name Covington from? Is also an interesting Watchtower leader. He took the stand during the Douglas Walsh trial in Scotland. Covington was a Jewish lawyer. Oh, Covington's a Jewish name? I'm pausing. Remember Harold Covington? Now, that doesn't mean that everyone named Covington has to be a Jew, does it? Or does it? Covington was a Jewish lawyer who earned his law degree at San Antonio School of Law in San Antonio, Texas. He began passing out the Watchtower literature in 1934 and was baptized in 1935. He succeeded Judge Rutherford as the Jehovah Witnesses legal counsel in 1942. He won many cases for the Jehovah Witnesses, sometimes with the help of the ACLU. Oh. He also took on clients like heavyweight boxer Muhammad Ali. He personally argued 41 major cases before the U.S. Supreme Court for Jehovah's Witnesses. Interestingly, Hayden became a part of the governing body and was made vice president of the Watchtower Society from January 13, 1942 until September 24, 1945, without being part of the anointed class. Remember, these people are in classes. Remember the initiates, the anointed, you know, all that. I believe the 144,000, I think that's the anointed, or it might be I can't remember. I'll have to, go over that because I want that clear in my mind. According to Watchtower Theology, the JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses, are divided into, only two major classes, the anointed and the great crowd. Okay, so I don't have to worry about that. I think that was something else, but we had the initiates and then two other ones. I'm probably thinking of something else. Sorry about that, folks. Let's take a quick break here. Well, let me just read the end of this part and we'll take a break because it's only one more paragraph. So again, according to the Watchtower Theology, the Jehovah's Witnesses are divided into two major classes, the anointed and the great crowd. Supposedly the recruiting by God for the anointed class was completed by God in the early 1930s. But occasionally, when one of the anointed apostatize, they are replaced to keep the magic number of 144,000. The anointed are to be the governing ones. It may have been this blatant conflict with this official doctrine that caused Hayden Cooper Covington, the Jew, to step down from his positions. That is what the November 1st, 1955, WX, page 650, indicates. Okay, this is a song from my blues albums, and it's a nice little dobro piece with harmonica. Enjoy. Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the Watchtower. And who's watching us? So, we're at the point, we're on page 259. And right here it says Nathan Knorr. Nathan Knorr took over the Watchtower presidency soon after Rutherford died. He was born in Bethlehem, PA. Apparently, he had been baptized as a baby into the Reformed Church, although he possibly was of Jewish heritage. When he joined the International Bible Students at the age of 16, he had his name removed from their rolls. He graduated from Allentown, PA. Nathan served the society. Nathan. I'd say he was a Jew. Nathan served the society as an administrator and was not important in terms of their doctrinal gymnastics. He was important in seeing their plans put into action. However, statements made by a relative of Knorr's indicate that Knorr was aware of how the Watchtower Society is part of a worldwide conspiracy. Some of the other governing body members who may be possibly of Jewish extract may include Albert D. Schroeder, Carl F. Klein, maybe, and William Jackson. The cult of the double-sex god Jehovah. The Watchtower magazine was forced to admit to some degree that problems of morality had reached to the very top of the Watchtower Society, listen, including homosexuality. They admitted it, all right? Did you get that from the internet? Yeah. The leaders of the Watchtower Society belong to a group called the Governing Body. Even the names of this governing body are kept secret. Now, the fellow told me that it's ruled by a council of 9 men. What does that mean to you? 9. We know that the number 9 was very important also to the ones who worshiped Baphomet as well, right? The Knights Templars? They also were ruled by a council of 9 men. There were 9 of them. What should that tell you? So, this is very interesting stuff, folks. So, for instance, when this author called headquarters to try to get any information at all about the governing body, the spokesperson at headquarters refused to reveal anything, not even how many men served on their governing body. Yet here I am talking to a fellow and he tells me right out. The following paragraph may offend some readers. However, it is not included to embarrass any individual, but to develop a point about the occult connections of the Watchtower Society. Now please listen. Nashab. A number of men on the governing body have been bachelors all their life and are believed by people who worked at the headquarters to have been homosexuals. Leo K. Greenlee's was forced to resign when his homosexuality became public. He then moved to New Orleans. Governing body member Edward C. Chitty, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Uh-oh. Sorry. Was in the middle of a sexual act with a 17-year-old male, Bethelite, when some unexpected guests arrived and opened the door. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? Can you just imagine? What did you get that from the internet? The boy committed suicide. We've heard that many times. You see, what this is what I was talking about, praying for our children. because they would have to live with that shame for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? Pray for our children that they don't get touched by these child touchers and these perverts and weirdos. And pray that the angel of death would also kill these people. Because certainly the judicial system will not. An unconfirmed report says that Chitty was forced to resign later. Ex-Bethelites also report strange behavior by the oracle, quote-unquote, of the society. The principal light of the society on religious matters, the president Frederick Franz. It's used to transpire all that all the young boys would sit at Frederick's table. Oh, boy. And that at other times he would discuss scriptures with them in the nude. Oh, my goodness. Did you get that in the internet? Sorry, I have to keep, you know, that's like becoming a staple here. That's past. Frederick is now 97 years old. This is back in 91 that this book is written. Other examples have been reported. Anyway, these specific examples are mentioned only to give some credence to the next discussion. There may be a definite occult link between the homosexual activity of the Watchtower leaders and witchcraft. Remember what I said earlier? It turns out that homosexual rites, which were most foreign to later religionists and disturbing to Christian ideas, were associated most strongly with all that the Christian religion hated, notably occult powers. For instance, in the Congo, it was not unusual for a priest to dress as a woman and be affectionately spoken of as the grandmother. Further, it is possible to link homosexuality with religion and magical practices throughout the world, like Crowley. We know Crowley was homosexual. He was both. He was bisexual. What a world. So, there's some more evidence for you, right? So, several items might lead one to the conclusion that the homosexuality of the Watchtower leadership is related to the occult. Number one, their relationship with the channeler Johannes Greber, who lived in New York, later New Jersey, indicates that the leadership of the has occult connections and that they are willing to cover and lie about any of the occult connections. What is going to happen to all liars, according to the book of Revelation? See, this means that they're practicing liars, their homosexuality, they're homosexuals. They are channeling. I mean, what does this tell you? They're alcoholics. It ought to speak volumes to you, folks. So, number two, their belief, going back to Charles Taze Russell, that the perfect state of man is to have the sexual organs of both sexes. Let me stop right there. Did you just hear what I just read? What do we see happening today? Who is androgynous but Baphomet? And a lot of these gods and goddesses? Supposed gods, they're not real gods and real goddesses. There's only one God, the Father in heaven. Can you imagine? I'm going to read it again. Their belief, going back to Charles Taze Russell, that the perfect state of man is to have the sexual organs of both sexes. This androgynous belief goes back to Baal, to Mithras, to Aphrodite, and to the Hindus Shiva, who are all depicted as double-sexed in some of their statues. It also relates to the Jewish Midrash. Rabbi Samuel Bar Nachman, 3rd century, says, Adam, when God created him, was a man, woman, androgyne. Maimonides, a later Jewish scholar, also believed this. That's, you know what, they pervert the word and say, well, he created men than both men and women, you see. Ladies and gentlemen, these Jews, every evil stems from them. The singular account of the creation of Brahm in Adam led various Jewish scholars to suggest that Jehovah, like Baal and the Syrian gods, was double-sexed. The two words make up the word Jehovah were composed with the male-female idea. The Hebrew letter Hod, or J, was the virile organ, and Hova was Eve, the mother of all living things, the procreator. The interpretation of Jehovah as bisexual has been preserved by the Kabbalah and the mysteries of the Masons. Remember, the Masons use Jehovah, and it's the devil, because Jehovah is Baal. You see? At first, it may seem like jumping somewhat to connect a belief to an androgynous god to homosexuality, but after studying the lives of several homosexual religious leaders or witches, that's exactly the connection they themselves make. For instance, Manly P. Hall, the greatest Masonic philosopher, was homosexual. He makes this connection between it all. These holy persons seldom took part in war and frequently were distinguished by a costume combining elements of male and female attire. This practice has been common throughout the religious world and has influenced the dress of pagan priests and Christian clergy alike. The androgynous human being, in whom there is a spiritual union of male and female attributes, has been widely accepted as personifying a superior type capable of a greater understanding of the father wisdom and mother love potencies of divinity. Such symbolism existed in all the great esoteric orders of the past. Now you see, this is what you see going on today. This is nothing new. You see it in the statues that he mentioned here, right? Siva and all these different statues. Baphomet, he didn't mention that. You see, there again is a mixing. And the father doesn't like that. He said kind after kind, right? He made them both male and female. Both means two. Both doesn't mean that he made them both, you know, that he made one of them male and female. He means he made them both female, male and female, you know? Just like he made all the animals, right? You've got the male lion. I mean, let's use our common sense here. But this has been the drive and this push. There is a super push going on right now in the world to this androgyny. You've seen it. I know you have. I know I have. There's people that you come across, you can't tell if they're male or female. This leading 33rd degree Mason, Manly P. Hall, reports, philosophically, Adam may be regarded as representative of the full spirit nature of man, androgynous and not subject to decay. He suggests that Elohim may have been androgynous. From these, it can be seen that Hall believes homosexuals are on the higher spiritual level. Oh my goodness. Wicca, black witchcraft, believes that Jesus is a great teacher, but not God. And of course, that is the mark of an antichrist, isn't it? I'll read it again. Wicca, black witchcraft, believes that Jesus is a great teacher, but not God. That's antichrist. The use of the word Jehovah by Kabbalists and Masons has meant a double-sexed God. You see why that's not the Father's name? So if you're a Jehovah's Witness, You're a witness of the double-sexed God, the devil. This author, in researching the occult, noticed that there was a connection between homosexuality and the New Age. For instance, upon entering a New Age store called the Third Eye, see the chapter on the Mark of the Beast, he found that free homosexual literature was being given out. The whole idea of such connections seems bizarre to those of us who have little to do with the occult or homosexuality. Yet in trying to understand others, say, for instance, Catholic nuns who openly flaunt their lesbianism and who are also into the New Age, the possibility that witchcraft and homosexuality play a role in each other may be a worthwhile explanation. As one climbs the ladder of the Watchtower Society's hierarchy, he becomes more immune to any censor of immoral behavior. Now, this is the same with with the Freemasons. They have no problem with homosexuality at all. They're totally, not against it. I've met several of them. When you would say something about that, they would say, I have no problem with that. Understood? So, witnesses are resentful of the fact that it seems that elders commit the same wrong over and over and little is done. And yet, if a publisher is caught sinning once, he or she is disfellowshipped almost on the spot. This author has witnessed that double standard. This is one more reason why it is possible that widespread homosexuality may have been practiced so long at headquarters. Mechanics of the governing body. The governing body holds meetings at least weekly to discuss appointments, business, and recommendations by branch personnel. The governing body in 1971 began a rotation annually by alphabetical order of the offices. A Watchtower spokesperson told the Brooklyn Heights paper that the society now had two vice presidents, George Cooch and A. Pearson. Cooch. The Watchtower Society has made the governing body so mysteriously powerful that just the rubber stamp of their signature is enough authorization for anything. Yes, Russell Pine. Imagine that. It says Russell Pine has done four films that hopefully will become available at some time. They are The Naked Truth, Matrix of Power, Ancient Egypt, Light of the World, and Modern Day Religion. Funny that he used the name Russell Pine because that's Jordan Maxwell. And Jordan Maxwell is one of the biggest frauds you could ever come across. So it says here, one of the notes says, a sample of Watchtower thinking in this mode is, since 1919, this faithful and discreet slave, who is a composite person made up of all anointed Christian joint heirs of Jesus Christ, has been taking care of all his belongings on earth. The governing body of the faithful and discreet slave class is taken from the members of this same anointed class. Spirit-filled class, by God's Spirit, it is functioning. So then, when the appointment of overseers is made by this governing body in harmony with the requirements laid down for overseers, it is really by the Spirit that such overseers are appointed, although through human intermediaries. May I remind you that the Watchtower Society has predicted the end of the world several times, or the coming of Christ, which is the end of the world. 1914, it never happened. If you try to question them about these things, you probably get some kind of response like this.
Where did you get that from? The internet?
Stop laughing. Laugh all you want. because it is a sad joke. Chapter 1.14, The New World Society. Since 1871, a powerful religious organization has grown up, first headquartered in what is now Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and later Brooklyn, New York, where it is today. Well, it's moved from there now, as the fellow had told me. It has established itself worldwide. Americans are familiar with the door-to-door Jehovah's Witnesses. They are less familiar with the Watchtower organization. The Watchtower Society was actually established by the Knights Templar. Oh, well, that makes all the sense in the world why they would have nine men ruling. The Watchtower Society was actually established by a Knights Templar Mason, Charles Taze Russell, to destroy and to change the Christian churches. May I remind you that when we first read about him, that he also subscribed to the Arian conspiracy, and he believed he was against the scriptures and did not believe that God could send somebody to hell. He rejected the church there, and which was in Scotland, and then he rejected Christianity. He rejected Jesus Christ, and he bowed his knee to the unknown God. Remember that? All right, I just want to make that clear. Like the fellow said to me, no, he did not. I said, oh, yes, he did. I won't say where did you get that on the internet, okay? So, in the process, an organization worth over $1 billion has come into being, led by a secret group of men called the Governing Body. Out of the public's view, and even little is known to the Jehovah's Witnesses, these men direct the details of the lives of the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Governing Body has so much control that they have convinced the Jehovah's Witnesses that the Watchtower Society never prophesied that 1975 would be the end of the world and Armageddon. Now there's another one right there, okay? So that's two times they've prophesied the end of the world. What does it tell you when somebody prophesies the end of the world and it doesn't come to happen? Or any prophecy? It tells you they're a false prophet, right? Let me make this clear. That just as Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and the Word was made flesh, you also have the prophets. And the prophets didn't go out speaking their own words. They are also the Word of God, because thus saith Yahweh, and they would say what the Father told them to say in the exact way to say it. And of course, these prophecies come true. So just as Jesus is the Word of God, so are the prophets. Everything hangs on the law and the prophets, you see. But the prophets, when they spoke, those are the words of Yahweh. And the law that was given, those are the words of Yahweh. And Jesus Christ, the Word, these are the words of Yahweh. But somebody's played around with these words, and they're going to be very sorry for doing it. See, the problem is that the Jew can do as much evil as it wants, and it's still going to end up in the same place. There is no redemption for the Jew. There is no salvation for the Jew. There's none of that stuff. You see, so it doesn't matter if they change the word, take out the Father's name over 6,800 times, and all these other things that are going on, they still end up in the same place, so they might as well just do as much evil as they can. That's the conundrum that we're under, ladies and gentlemen. But that's why the Father gave us the Holy Spirit. Never, ever underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, as I said the other day. And never blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because if you do, you're cooked for good. In this life and the next. So, where am I over here now? The Watchtower Society's financial operations are totally secret. Some rumors have circulated that the Watchtower Society is one funnel for money laundering. Jehovah's Witnesses would never believe that their society and their governing body could ever do such a thing. Well, you know why I would believe that that's very possibly true? And I would say it is true. Because the Jews control it. And who else would want to funnel money like that? Who else would want to launder money? They do it through banks. They do it through their businesses. They do it through our governments. They do it through organizations, through all kinds of things, the secret societies, etc., etc. What would be the difference here? Huh? So, indeed, the governing body has almost a godlike image with the rank and file Jehovah's Witnesses, which they have promoted through their slick propaganda. Few today can escape the proselytizing efforts of the Jehovah's Witnesses, but few understand the organization that they are coming up against. The organization has frequently affected families and the careers of tens of thousands of people caught up by its slick propaganda. Much of what the Watchtower Society writes about itself is fantasy. I have not attempted in this chapter to write an encyclopedia of the organization and its people, but to describe some of its personalities, policies, and political pull in order to reveal some of the myths about the Watchtower Society. Personalities. General William P. Hall of the U.S. Army and General Alexander P. Stewart, you know what that means, Hall and Stewart, were early supporters of Charles Taze Russell. Although Jehovah's Witnesses are typically thought of as anti-military, such was not the case in the early Watchtower Society. Some early members were of the military for years after joining the society. General Hall was a West Pointer and a decorated sharpshooter. His family had associations with the Masons. General Hall was on the IBSA committee, of which Russell was the chairman. General Hall was chosen to accompany Charles Taze Russell on his worldwide tour. Fred H. Robison, was one of the seven Watchtower leaders sentenced in June 1918 for violating the Espionage Act. A New York district court sentenced him to many years of imprisonment, but he was released after only a short time in prison. Papers were introduced at the trial showing their connection with German agents in the United States of America and Mexico. At his sedition trial, Robison disclosed that his religious experience before joining the Watchtower Society consisted entirely of several years' service for the Christian Endeavor groups. He was not a member of any church prior to joining the International Bible Students. The Christian Endeavor groups were known to have departed from the Christian faith. The president of the Christian Endeavor Society of America and secretary of the World Chapter was Dr. Stanley B. Vandersall, who was a high-ranking and active Freemason. William E. Van Amberg was treasurer of the Watchtower Society. Some of the older International Bible Students didn't trust him. If one considers what the society was teaching, is it any surprise? In court, during the sedition trial in 1918, he told the court that the Millennium of God had started in October 1874. Van Amberg was one of the suspected ringleaders by those who suspected foul play in the death of Charles Taze Russell. Before joining the Watchtower Society, Van Amberg had been active in the YMCA and the Methodist Church. He served on the editorial staff of the Watchtower, along with the Jew R.H. Hirsch, Roberson, and Rutherford. Policies. The Watchtower Society has pushed their people hard to get out in the fields of service. That is the door-to-door sales work. In order to squeeze more out of their time out of their people, the society ordered the JWs not to have children. Can you dig that? Are you hearing that? This was done in Watchtower 11-1-1938. Dig the numbers there, 11. You've got the children, the devil's children. Then you've got 19 and 38. 1 times 9 is 9, the devil's number, and 3 and 8 is 11, the children's number. You know, the Jews. Page 323 and 324. In the children's book, 1941, this was shown and could be seen in the Awake magazine of 11-8-1974. Need I mention these numbers again? Page 11. About Christians, the Watchtower Society said, do not confuse Christianity with the so-called Christian religion, quote-unquote. I hope you're listening. Let me read that again so you can get a load of that. About Christians, the Watchtower Society said, quote, do not confuse Christianity with the so-called Christian religion, quote unquote. The latter operates in the name of God and Christ, but is wholly against Christ and his kingdom, which is the only hope of the human race. Are you listening? Religion labeled the Christian religion is a racket invented by the devil to defame the name of Almighty God. Who's been telling you that? One more thing I'll read here, and then we have to close. About democracy, the society says, listen, democracy is the perverted form of the third form of government. God's holy word says nothing about democracy. God is not the author of any other ocracy, than theocracy. The origin of democracy is demons. Of course, demo, the New World Order. See, now I agree with those statements. Do you? I don't know, you know. But listen, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I can tell you this one thing before I go. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.